With male sex work, it really depends what the client wants. Sometimes they will want you to come, and you do. But other factors like your ability to do so, performance anxiety is a real thing, both in and out, like regular sex as well as sex work. So, yeah, I think it just really dictates on the energy and really your ability. And you're communicating that with someone as well. You're like, yes, I can, no, I can't, etc.
The hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
When we think about sex work, what usually springs to mind is men buying sex from women instead of men being the sex workers. But more and more, male sex work is being demystified, both in research and in insane reality shows like Showtime's Gigolos.
Yeah, yeah. Get to know your gigolo.
I got the gigolo style, got the gigolo flavor, got the gigolo smile, got that gigolo swagger.
Meet Nick.
Look up a little bit.
I work pretty hard on my body, and the client should take one look at my portfolio on the website and say, I want him.
Meet Ash.
My name is Ash Armand. I'm a gigolo. Very comfortable being around people, being around women. I've had a lot of lovers, so it felt like would be an easy thing for me.
You're so essential and sexy.
I genuinely look at it almost as like a healing experience.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes people like break down and cry because you touched them in a way that they've never been touched before. So it's just really giving them a lasting memory.
So who's hiring male sex workers and what's it like to be one? Joining us on the pod is Dr. Denton Callender, who's a researcher at the University of New South Wales, who's researched male sex work, and Max Anders, who is a sex worker.
For me, it was really just a decision about being comfortable with my own sexuality and really assessing it from that aspect. And it just made sense, and I really enjoy what I do.
What do you like about it?
I like that it is very liberating sexually for yourself, but also it's about clients. And for a lot of the time, obviously there can be extreme examples like in that little grab, but you do really help clients with anything from sex to just human interaction.
So is that often a client's experience with you? It's not just about the sex, but more of emotional connection?
Yeah, I think it is that way for most sex workers, I believe. But it's like that for all of us too. Like sex just isn't always about sex, is it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So when we talk about the sex industry, it's usually viewed that men are the buyers and women are the workers. Denton, how much is this changing?
Well, just like we've seen pretty dramatic shifts in sexuality across the board, certainly since the 1950s to now, it's there kind of unsurprising then that we've seen some pretty dramatic shifts in sex work. So men sell sex, women buy sex, trans men and women are involved with the industry. I mean, pretty much if you can imagine it, it exists.
But it's interesting to think, I mean, male sex workers have been around forever, right?
Yeah, we actually find evidence of them in pretty much every part of the world across all periods of time. It has a long historical record.
In what differing ways do you think we view male sex work versus female sex work?
Well, that actually, to answer that question, you might think about the ways in which we view male sexuality compared to female sexuality. And it tends to be really prescriptive in both cases. But for a long time, women or female sexuality has been constructed as largely passive, as receptive. So I think it's quite a direct challenge to those narratives when we think about women buying sex, demonstrating quite a large degree of agency, you know, exercising their social and financial capital, that really, you know, puts the brakes on those earlier narratives and asks us to think about it in a different way.
Max, do you think people view male and female sex workers differently?
I think so. I think a big thing that would come down to it is there is obviously a lot more stigma on women and therefore female sex workers even to begin with. But even issues of safety and things like that, you're assumed to be a lot safer if you're a male sex worker. And the truth behind that remains to be seen, I guess, in many ways.
Yeah, it seems like there's a bit of a narrative potentially of like that male sex workers are more empowered and female sex workers are, you know, slightly more seen as a victim, whereas that's, you know, not always the case. Would you say so?
Yeah, I think you could probably find examples of both of those things no matter where you looked. But we know that tools like the internet have been really crucial in helping people, male and female, negotiate safe commercial sex encounters. And that includes both from the perspective of the buyer and the seller.
So where do male sex workers mostly exist? Is it on the street, in brothels, online?
Overwhelmingly online. I don't know if you'd agree, Max.
100% online.
Yeah, like every survey shows something like 90% predominantly recruit their clients online. They may have other avenues as well, but it just makes sense, right? I mean, I buy my groceries online, you do all your shopping online. I mean, it's convenient, it's easy, it's simple.
So, Max, who are your usual clients? Obviously not names, but just, you know, archetypes.
No, well, obviously they're people that are seeking an experience and they have the money to do so. I think that transactional aspect is a big part of what shapes someone's ability to seek sex work and seek a sex worker. But they're varied. Like, there is no stereotype, there is no trope that unifies them other than the fact that they have sought me out for sex work, really.
And do price ranges range differently for male and female sex workers?
From my experience, yes and no. I think it's really up to the choice of the sex worker. Some people charge per experience and deeds that they do, usually for myself, it's a time thing. Someone's booking me for a certain amount of time and therefore I calculate my rates based on that.
And what kind of experiences are they after when clients come and see you?
Well, anything from your classic escorting of dinner, maybe a more date-like situation leading into probably something sexual to no frills sex, just plain and simple.
That can be nice sometimes.
Yeah, too, yeah.
And your clients are mostly men?
My clients are mostly men, yes.
And so with female sex workers, when a male client finishes, it's generally over after they, you know, ejaculate. But what happens for male sex workers? How does that work?
This is always an interesting question. We are very fascinated with ejaculation. So with the male sex
work, a whole topic on it.
With male sex work, it really depends what the client wants. Sometimes they will want you to come and you do. But other factors like your ability to do so, performance anxiety is a real thing both in and out, like regular sex as well as sex work. So, yeah, I think it just really dictates on the energy and really your ability. And you're communicating that with someone as well. You're like, yes, I can, no, I can't, etc.
What happens if you can't perform? I mean, what happens with the client?
Well, usually that doesn't happen. I think you need a bit of bravado and courage going into those situations.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But look, the fact of the matter is things like Viagra and Cialis definitely do help take the edge off. Mm. But also just not going at it alone, the classic.
You come prepared.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
But, that kind of assumes that the end of all sex is ejaculation. Yeah. And that's not the case commercially or privately. I think people come with lots of different desires.
And usually what happens for me is if a client does ejaculate, it's you just hang out with them and spend some time with them for the rest of the time.
Yep, just ride out the clock.
Yeah.
Denton, what does your research show when it comes to women hiring sex workers?
So we have a lot of evidence that more and more women are turning to sex work for a variety of reasons as the clients, which is quite different from how most people think of sex work. And, you know, this is really interesting, I think, for a number of reasons, not the least of which is, you know, our laws, our appreciation of sex work, the way in which we deliver services, all of these are based around the idea of men buying and selling sex. But more than that, it really invites this new appreciation for female sexuality, you know, a reimagining of how female sexuality can be expressed.
And do you think there's a stigma towards women who employ male sex workers?
Well, that's a tricky question. We haven't looked at that specifically, but we know that sex work, both buying and selling, does experience a degree of stigma. But a lot of that can be managed through the online nature of sex work today. So the women who are buying sex workers are probably negotiating these encounters quite directly and are probably avoiding a lot of the stigma they might experience otherwise.
And why are some of the reasons women are hiring sex workers? What have they told you?
Well, it turns out that women are not so unlike men. And the reasons they hire sex workers are pretty much the same as the reasons men hire sex workers. For pleasure, for fun, you know, to meet certain needs, to explore aspects of their sexuality that were previously unavailable to them. So there's lots of different reasons that people hire sex workers. And they don't seem to be that different. What is different for women is that we're living in a time where enhanced social and financial capital make these types of experiences possible.
And then I read in one of your studies a phrase called gay for pay. What is that?
Well, this is the idea of either in sex work or in pornography of otherwise heterosexual men, or they might identify themselves as heterosexual, engaging in sex acts with other men. So it's actually received quite a bit of attention in research literature over a few years. It's quite salacious. I think there's a few documentaries on it. Essentially straight men who are gay for pay.
And does it work the other way around? I mean, Max, you were saying before that you mostly see your male clientele. Have you ever considered seeing female clientele? Do they approach you ever?
Female clients have never approached me directly, but that could be from where I advertise. I have had couples approach me, but I've never had any bookings come from it. But it is definitely something that you potentially would consider as a sex worker.
And Denton, I've read in one of your studies, you've written that a review of online profiles of male sex workers showed that nearly half were ambiguous about safer sex and had a willingness to have condomless sex. Is that a problem for male sex workers? Max, have you ever found yourself pressured to have sex without a condom?
I think there is a big shift because of PrEP. Other HIV prevention strategies. However, it's always about agency. So if you want to use condoms as a sex worker, you express that. If you there are people that are more liberal with that, and they would negotiate that with their clients, and clients would negotiate with you as well. So yeah.
And Max, we were talking a little bit before about the emotional aspects of sex work, mm-hmm. and how that can get a little bit murky when it comes to attachment. Has that ever been an experience for you?
Yes and no. I think like any business relationship, you can form really good, healthy ones with people, and perhaps some that you need to walk away from and move on from. But I think the big thing for me is the relationships I have outside of my job as well, and a transparency about what I do allows me to communicate with friends and family about what I do for a living.
That's good that, you know, that there's such openness. That's awesome.
Yeah. And not everyone has that as well.
No, absolutely. And Denton, just to go back to, I guess, safety of male sex workers, a lot of us are aware of the, you know, physical risks that female sex workers encounter. Those same risks, I'm assuming, also exist for male sex workers as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, as Max was saying, it's a lot about agency and negotiation, and you know how you as a sex worker or you as a client get a safe and satisfying experience. And that's actually something that we're studying really closely at the moment, potentially for what it might teach us about sex work, but also how that might be applied to sexual agency of humans in all different types of sexual relationships.
And we've heard from you in the text line, I think sex workers are really important for the disabled or special needs population. And we've actually covered that on the show not too long ago. You can head to the Hook Up podcast to check that one out. We spoke to a sex worker called Miss Fleur, who works with people with disabilities as a sex worker. It was really great to talk to her. And Max, I just want to ask, I've heard from female sex workers that it's an industry where if you're not careful, you can burn out pretty easily mm-hmm. emotionally. How long do you think you'll stay in the biz?
I think it's all about, it's again, agency comes up a lot with sex and with sex work, but it's having a level of self-awareness that if you aren't in the best mindset, that maybe it's time to take a break, take a holiday, get a good payday, and then take a week or two off perhaps.
Finally, what would you both like people to know about male sex workers that they might not understand? Denton, I'll start with you.
Oh, gosh, that's a tricky one. I mean, I guess with all of this, and this is not unique to sex work, but sex work is a great example of an expression of human sexuality that's been around as long as we can remember. And it is just another expression of the diversity of human sexuality. In that respect, I think it's actually quite beautiful. So the lesson for me is that, you know, we need to stop being so cagey and weird about other people's sexuality and just relax and enjoy it for the exciting, weird, fun, and beautiful thing that it can be.
Max, what about you?
I would second that and also add, just remember to be respectful, whether or not it's to a sex worker or anyone. I think respect and sex go hand in hand.
It's a beautiful way to finish this. Denton and Max, thank you so much for joining us on The Hookup.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us in iTunes. It really helps other people find the show.
Hello, Zan Rowe here. I know you love going deep, getting personal here on The Hookup. But did you know I like to play that way too? In a musical sense, of course. Every week, I invite someone great in to Take Five to play five songs they love and tell you why. And now, the Take Five is a podcast. You can hear the likes of Violent Soho, Laura Jane Grace and Joyride telling you about the music they love. Find Take Five wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. You know you want to.